This morning for our Bible study, I would encourage you to turn to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45, and I'll begin reading at verse 20. Isaiah 45, verse 20. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nation. They have no knowledge that set up wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye, bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? There is no God else beside me. Now that's a very significant phrase here in the book of Isaiah. God repeats this phrase at least six or seven times. There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Verse 22 of Isaiah 45, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say in the Lord, have I righteousness and strength, even to him shall men come. And all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified. That is, all God's elect, all who believe the gospel, shall be justified to the glory of God. Now there is one thing made absolutely clear when you read this chapter. There is but one true, almighty, eternal, absolute, sovereign, holy God. And he's the God of Scripture. The God of Scripture. Several times in this chapter, we read, surely, God is in thee. There is none else. There is no God beside me. It's repeated over and over again. In Isaiah 45, again, verse 5, I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside thee. Now, it's absolutely clear. There's just one eternal, almighty God in whom salvation is found. Now, what's this God of Scripture like? Well, we're not left in the dark on this point. There are at least two significant things revealed in this chapter about the character of God. Did you catch this phrase in verse 21? And this is a significant phrase, and I would encourage you to underline it and listen carefully. God said when he said, there is none beside me, and then he described his character as a just God and Savior. A just God and Savior. God is just. That means he is holy. He is righteous. He's sovereign in all his word, all his ways, and all his work. One old patriarch in Scripture said, shall not the God of all the earth do right? And my friend, he will. Whatever God does is right because he's a just God. But there's another part of his character revealed. God is just and holy and righteous and sovereign. But also we read here, he's a just God and Savior. A just God and a Savior. The same God who was just, our God, the God of Scripture, also reveals himself as merciful, gracious, long-suffering to the salvation of God's elect. You listen to this description in Exodus chapter 34. It says, the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there, that is with Moses, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. There it is again. He's a just God and he's a Savior. Now this is demonstrated all through Scripture. Adam sinned against God, violated the command of God. Adam sinned and plunged us all into total depravity and ruin. Adam sinned and was punished. Why? God is just. He's holy. But wait a minute. We also revealed in Genesis chapter 3, God gave his promise of salvation. You remember he said, the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. That's the Savior. That's the promise of the Messiah coming. You see, He is a just God, but He is a Savior. God, our Savior. The world, here's another example of the demonstration of God's holiness and God's mercy, His justice and His righteousness. The world was flooded in Noah's day. You remember what God said about all men? He saw that the imagination, every thought of the heart was only wicked continually, and it grieved Him. God holy. The world was flooded. The world was destroyed. Why? God is holy. God is just. But we also read in Scripture that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And yonder on the flood of God's wrath, we see the ark and Noah's family spared. A just God and a Savior. All through Scripture. I'll give you another example of that. God destroyed Sodom because of the perversion and the wickedness that reigned in that city. God is just. God will punish sin. But we also read that God spared Lot. God delivered Lot. He's a just God and a Savior. I'll give you another example. The law was given on Mount Sinai. The law that demanded holiness. The law that declares the very character of God. God said, I must punish sin because I'm holy. And the law was given to reveal our transgression, to expose our iniquity. God is holy. But yonder in that law, there's a mercy seat. And God instructed a priest on the Day of Atonement to sprinkle the blood on that broken law over the mercy seat, over that Ark of the Covenant. God said, I'll meet with you there upon the blood covenant, the blood mercy seat, the propitiation. He is a just God and a Savior. Perhaps the greatest demonstration of this character of God, that He is a just God and Savior, is viewed at Calvary. At Calvary, we see that God is just. God must punish sin. And when God imputed and laid on Christ the iniquity, the sin of God's sheep, God's elect, God's people, the wrath of God reigned upon Him without any mixture of mercy. But yet by this sacrifice, God justified His people by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, He's a just God and a Savior. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, there's absolutely no other way for a holy God to save guilty sinners but by Jesus Christ. Some say the book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Well, if that's true, this is the oldest and most important question that any man can consider. And Job said this, or one of the friends of Job said this in Job 25, how can man be justified with God? How can he be clean that's born of a woman? How can he be a just God and a Savior? There's just one way, my friend. That's in Christ, through the sacrifice of Christ. The Apostle Paul answers that question for us in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 24, he said, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth in picture and promise and in time, in the fullness of time, God set forth His Son to be the mercy seat, the sacrifice, the propitiation, through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Now listen. Verse 26, Romans 3, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness. God is just. God must punish sin, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, salvation is received by believing, not by doing. Now back to Isaiah 45, and listen to verse 22. Our God describes Himself as there's none like Me, there's none beside Me, I'm a just God and a Savior, there is none like Me. And then He says, look, look, look. Not your works, not your deeds, not your experience, not your baptism, not your ceremony, not to your traditions of men. He said, look unto me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. I am God, the only Savior of sinners. He's God our Savior. I am God, God our Savior, and there is none else. Now, let me give you these questions. Where are we to look? Where are we to look as guilty, helpless sinners? Where are we to look? Well, it's plain. Our Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Look to him. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to him as our almighty Savior, able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him. Look to him as the only mediator, substitute, sacrifice provided by God Almighty. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, that is the man, Christ Jesus. Look to him as the only object of faith. Saving faith looks to Christ. The apostle put it this way, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Look to him as the object of faith. The writer of Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look unto him as the only and all-sufficient sacrifice, the only and all-sufficient righteousness before God. Look to him as our exalted Redeemer, seated on the throne, having accomplished salvation when he had by himself purged our sin. He sat down at the right hand of God. And look to him alone. Alone. Where are we to look? To him. Alone. Not to anything else. Our works. Not even to our faith. Not even to our look. Not to our church. Not to our pastor. Not to mom and dad. He said, look to me. This is the command of God. Look unto me. You see, my friend, as I've been trying to tell you these years on this radio program, salvation's in a person. In a person. He didn't say go to the church. Salvation's not in a church. If you're trusting your church, you're lost. Salvation's in a person, in the Lord Jesus Christ. What part in salvation should we look to him for? Every part. Christ is all. And in all. In the Revelation, he describes himself as the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the ending, the first, and the last. He's saying, I'm everything in salvation. From election to justification to glorification, salvation is of the Lord. It's his doing. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Salvation's all of God and all in him. He's the only just God and Savior. Now, what's our encouragement to look to him? Well, it's his command. It's his command. He said, look unto me. And that word can also, that word look also means turn to him. Trust him. Believe him. He says in Isaiah 55, ho, everyone that's thirsty, come to the waters. Come to me. He that hath no money, come, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Look to him. It's his command. It's his command. What's the result of this looking to the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, look unto me, and here's the result. Be ye saved. Be ye saved. Justified in the blood and righteousness of Christ. That Philippian jailer asked the Apostle Paul, what must I do to be saved? He didn't give him anything to do. He said, look, look. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And my friend, this is the gift of God, sovereignly given, and this is a work of God in your heart. And the result of that is looking to him. Believe Christ and be saved. Now, let me give you this. Who may look? Who may look to Christ and be saved? Well, it says in this verse here, all the ends of the earth. Our Lord instructed his church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Who may look? Those who are in need. Look. You hungry? He's the bread. You thirsty? He's the water. You dead in sin? Are you dead in sin? He's life. He's life. You need salvation, pardon, forgiveness? It's in him. Look to Him. Look out of your need. And look away from yourself. And look to Him. And be saved. Be justified in Him. Now let me give you this. When should we look to Him? Always. At all times. When in the dark, He's the light. When we're weak, He's our strength. When we're hungry, He's our food. He said, I'm the bread of life. When in sorrow, He's our joy. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. When in trouble, He's our comfort. He's our strength in the very time of trouble. When in death, He's our life. Look unto me, a just God and Savior. There is none beside me. He said, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is in Christ. Pray to God for grace to help in your time of need. And may God grant you faith to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, exalted.